I'm gonna say this once. I'm gonna say it simple. And I hope to God, for your sakes, you all listen. There are no abominable snowmen. There are no Sasquatches. There are no Big Feet.
Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Tiana.
And this is Next Door Villain,
a podcast where we uncover the villains to discover their humanity. Hey, baddies, welcome back to Next Door Villain Podcast. I know it's been some time since we last talked to you or talked at you, but we're back and we are going to talk more about a creature who is near and dear to our hearts, named Sasquatch, Bigfoot, mysterious entity, any of those names work.
Yeah, a little bit of a non-traditional episode today.
Yes.
Normally we only talk about fictional villains, but of course today we are talking about the very real creature that roams primarily in the Pacific Northwest, California, Oregon, Seattle, to the British Columbia area in Canada. As Tiana said, the Sasquatch.
The Sasquatch. And this creature is near and dear to my heart because I live in Washington State now. And I feel when I walk through the woods, whether it be like at dawn or at night or even throughout the day, I think about Sasquatch. And I think about the eeriness, but also the beauty of this creature. And so I'm really excited to talk about them today.
Yeah.
And I like how Joe says a very real, very real creature here in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. Well, Tiana, you grew up in South Dakota, right?
Yeah.
I grew up in Oregon, which is like prime Sasquatch territory. So I always felt like Bigfoot, Sasquatch was such a just a normal part of my life growing up and then the general conversation in the area. And it's such a part of like pop culture and folklore. And it's just something that like everybody knows about. I remember when I was growing up, there was this book that I loved, Sasquatch by Roland Smith, about this child in Seattle whose dad gets injured and Sasquatch comes and saves them. I remember Harry and the Hendersons, one of my favorite films about this family that accidentally hits a Sasquatch with their car and then brings it home and tries to take care of it. Just so much stuff out there. There's like a million different movies, you know, ranging from nice family fun movies to a lot of horror stuff.
Yeah.
About Sasquatch, like, coming in the night to murder people.
Yeah. And I think we're really drawn to Sasquatch. I think we're drawn to things that we don't fully understand and drawn to the mysteriousness of Sasquatch because we don't know much about Sasquatch, but we want to know more. And so we get curious and we start chasing Sasquatch and looking for Sasquatch. And people have been looking for Sasquatch all throughout history, right? Have you ever... tried looking for Sasquatch?
Have I specifically gone on a Sasquatch hunt? No. When I was a kid, though, while camping, did we like hit sticks on trees to try to like call a Sasquatch? You know, because that's like one of the ways they communicate is like hitting sticks on trees. Yeah, I totally did that when I was younger, hoping to hear a response from one of them in the wilderness of Oregon. And it's interesting, like, I live on the East Coast now, and Sasquatch is reported all throughout the U.S., but it is definitely not as big in the East Coast, and especially in Maine. It's not, like, a part of the conversation here. I think Sasquatch is really a West Coast being.
So much so that it's actually the mascot for the college that I work for.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, so we got to do our 30-second intros, but before we get into that, last episode, we promised you that we would read our 50th rating live on air. And whoever you are that left us a 50th rating, you didn't write anything. So I'm going to read our 49th rating from S.
But first, let me read the 50th. No. Let me read the 50th, too.
Okay,
here it is.
Beautiful. Thank you, Tiana.
No problem.
So from S. McCarty 84, who wrote, "So good. Just found this podcast. So glad I did. What a fun podcast idea. The hosts discuss such interesting topics and leaving me wanting to hear more. Check it out.
Nice. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. And just so you don't think that we're being biased, here's a critical review from Colin1123, who wrote, "Fun but short. Where is the more personal analysis?"
Mm. You need more personal analysis. I'll do my best.
Yeah, Colin, we heard you. I'm going to be honest, I don't know how to provide that. So we'll do what we can. And anybody else, if you want to leave us a review, we'll read them. If they're weird, we might even read them on the show. Tiana, do you want to give us a 30-second intro to the Sasquatch?
Yes.
All right. Ready, set, go.
All right. So Sasquatch is mostly found in the West Coast, specifically Washington, with 676 sightings. And he's reported as being big and furry. And as an entity that shrieks very loudly, and a lot of people get really scared when they see Sasquatch. There could be multiple of them, multiple Sasquatchi, so many Sasquatchi.
Time's out.
Yeah.
Sasquatchi?
I don't know.
What about Sasqui?
Sasguy.
Sasguy?
Yeah. I think I was always under the impression growing up that it was just one. But then I developed logic and realized that
there needed to be enough for a breeding population.
Yeah, they need more Sasquatches to reproduce, probably. Or maybe that's unfair. We don't know how Sasquatch reproduces. I assume it's similar to us. Looks like a mammal.
Yeah, they are humanoid in shape.
Yeah. Yeah, I doubt they lay eggs. All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, Sasquatch is this creature that lives in primarily the Pacific Northwest of the United States, California, Oregon, Washington, British Columbia. And it's a very tall humanoid creature, believed to be about 8 to 10 feet tall, also known as Bigfoot, because it has reportedly giant feet. People find imprints of their feet on the ground sometimes. It's become a part of American folklore, and there's also some scientists who think there might be some possibility the creature is real.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Anyways, so Tiana, when you told me you wanted to do an episode on Sasquatch, there were a couple things that came to mind for me. The first was that I was excited because I'm a big Sasquatch fan. And the second thing was like, is this a villain? Like, yeah. Or is this just something that we both enjoy talking about?
A little bit of both. I would say. Yeah. And I know that you believe Sasquatch to be 100% real, but I also maybe not.
I believe that it is possible that Sasquatch exists.
Yeah, I think so too. So I thought that Sasquatch was kind of on that middle ground between fictional and non-fictional and was close enough to the fictional side to where we could do an episode on it. So I am fascinated by Sasquatch and the mysteriousness of the creature. I thought it would be fun to explore Sasquatch's thoughts and feelings, or at least attempt to explore it, even though we don't know much about Sasquatch. Uh-huh. And I thought that would be fun, to put it simply. And I think I think people misunderstand Sasquatch sometimes and do believe that Sasquatch is villainous. And I don't know if I can fully blame them, because if I saw a Sasquatch right in front of me, I probably would try to run or hide. I don't know what Sasquatch is going to do. My brain probably would automatically indicate to me, run. That is a creature that can kill you. That is a creature that can threaten you. It is most likely villainous. And my brain will just tell me that because of evolutionary survival mode.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I kept running into, which is sort of tangential to whatever. I think you know what I'm trying to
yes,
say.
Yes, I do.
To what we are talking about is that people who, particularly in the scientific community, who have tried to study Sasquatch over the past a couple of centuries have really been villainized by the scientific community, really looked down upon. I think the general thing in our culture is to think of people who believe in Sasquatch as kind of kooky which is a little bit unfair because I think that there is evidence out there to say otherwise. And, you know, I think we need to give more respect to some of these people.
Yeah.
And some of them are kooky. That's also true.
They're probably more interesting, though. But yeah, and I never tell myself, I know for sure that something is the way it is. Or I never say, I know for sure that something is not the way it is. I think it would be cocky of me, or at least just strange of me to say, I know for sure that Bigfoot exists. Or I know for sure that Bigfoot doesn't exist. Like, I don't fully know. Like, who am I to declare that?
That's exactly how I feel. Mm-hmm. The problem with the scientific community in particular, outcasting anybody who wants to study something like Bigfoot, that's just like a really negative, you know, way to approach the world. I just think, like, why look down on people who want to study something? I want to kind of bring up an example that I heard in this podcast, Wild Thing, which is a great podcast, which really studies, it's really like an in-depth study on Sasquatch. And it's a reporter who goes in and she says, look, I don't know if Sasquatch exists or if Sasquatch doesn't exist, but I'm going to look at what's out there and show you what is out there. And one of the really interesting findings that she talked about was that in the early 1900s, people, the scientific community didn't believe in gorillas. They just like straight up were like, no, gorillas don't exist. And anybody in the scientific community who wanted to like study gorillas or go looking for them was basically like laughed out. Like there was this explorer, and shoot, I should have written his name down, who like really believed in the gorilla. And he was basically like outcast from the scientific society in England because he believed the gorilla and all these like indigenous tribes in Africa had stories about it. And so he went searching for it and he found bones. And then he was actually able to bring back a specimen, I believe dead, which is a whole another negative thing, but anyways, and now like now we all know gorillas are real. And it was this giant, giant creature out in the forest that just because no one had ever seen it before, no one believed it. And people thought that it was a joke to even try to study it. And that's the thing about Sasquatch is like, maybe it exists, maybe it doesn't. But I think it's still worthy of scientific exploration. Because even if it doesn't exist, it is significant that so many people talk about it and so many people care about it. And so from like an anthropology perspective, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was this dude, Grover Krantz, who was for like many, many years, like considered kind of the leading expert on Sasquatch. And he believed that Sasquatch existed and he believed there was evidence enough to prove that. He was an anthropologist. And he had tenure at the place that he worked, but he was consistently passed over and took a big hit in his career because of his belief in Bigfoot. Even though his students like loved him and he didn't bring Bigfoot into the classroom very much, he talked about him a little bit. But overall, he was considered to be this wonderful teacher. But because of his belief in Bigfoot, he was really kind of an outcast in the anthropology community.
So on one hand, this is one thing that I don't get, is that people think you're crazy or whatever for believing in Bigfoot. But then in just Washington, there have been 676 reported sightings. I think that's worth looking into, right? And there's video.
Yeah.
Of course, people will say, oh, that's, you know, a guy dressed up as Bigfoot.
Well, and part of the problem is that a lot of times it is fake.
Yeah.
A lot of times it is people making it up. And a lot of times it's people in the woods who are, you know, frightened because they've run into a bear or something scary. And in their mind, they've conflated to something bigger. So, I mean, I think it is valid to say that a lot of these stories are not true, for whether intentionally not true or whether that's just the human mind run amok. But to say automatically that all of these stories are definitely false, I think is not a good way to approach the world. My point here really on this whole like scientific real angle of Bigfoot is just that we just don't know. And there's no way to prove that it doesn't exist. Why be so mean to people who believe in it? Like, what is it hurting? I don't know. I just think it's silly like how villainized people are for believing in something that could be real. Maybe. One dude in an interview that I watched was talking about, and I think this might be on the, maybe on the Sasquatch documentary on Hulu, was saying that he believed the Bigfoot population in Idaho to be around 300.
Yeah, I remember that.
And
yeah.
Yeah, and that the black bear population was like probably 10 times that. And his point was like, how often do you see a black bear or like come across a black bear carcass in the forest? It's like very rare. And then this population is like way, way smaller than that. It's something that you're not going to run into very often. And when you do, you're probably not prepared for it.
Oh, yeah. So in a sense, this episode is also about empathizing with the scientists who are villainized.
Yeah. I mean, part of our whole podcast is like thinking more openly and like offering more perspectives. That's what I'm trying to bring to this episode is like, let's be open to scientific inquiry and exploration and not villainize people simply because they want to learn more about something. If people are being like wild and harming other people in some way or taking advantage of people financially because they believe in Bigfoot or because they're trying to create hoaxes, those people, I think maybe it's fair to look down on them.
I also like really want to believe people who say that they have spotted Bigfoot. It's hard though, because you don't know whether or not that was a hoax, if that was like a prank played on them.
Yeah. Or if they're making it up, like it's a hoax they made up.
Right.
Those are the people I'm less sympathetic towards, but there are people who have had legitimate experiences, Bigfoot or otherwise, and their experience is valid. And they may not necessarily be attributing that scary experience to the right thing, but like putting them down and telling them that what they believe happened didn't happen is often not helpful for people.
Yeah. A part of the Sasquatch documentary that you can watch on Hulu, the scene that really affected me a lot was when they were interviewing this guy named Jim Murphy, who was basically in terror, recollecting his memory of seeing Sasquatch. He was like trembling, and he said that he starts crying, and he said he'd never been that scared in his life. I guess we'll never fully know if what he saw was truly Bigfoot, but it would also be kind of mean to be like if he told this story and you were just like, no, that's probably not true. Or no, that's probably...
Something happened to that man. Whether it was Bigfoot or not, he was clearly traumatized. And responding to him by saying, oh, that didn't happen, you're making that up, is not going to help him.
Right.
I'd rather err on the side of like trusting him so that he can feel better and feel safer and have a more productive and healthy life. What does it hurt me to listen to his story and to tell him that I believe him? Maybe I don't necessarily believe Sasquatch was involved, but I do believe something scary happened to him. And I think that we need to recognize that when people go through traumatic experiences, that what they feel is real. And it doesn't necessarily matter if the Sasquatch is real. It was real in his mind and it caused real world effects on him that he needs help and support to deal with.
Right. We shall empathize.
Yes.
So I am trying to empathize with Bigfoot now that we have talked about the scientists and the other people involved.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't a podcast talking about all of the sightings. I'm sure there are lots of podcast episodes out there from great podcasts that talk about Bigfoot, but we'll stick with...
Oh, there are so many Bigfoot podcasts out there.
Yeah. We're one of them, but we're going to take a different angle where we try to empathize with the entity of Sasquatch. And okay, one thing that I do want to say, this is going to come out very weird.
Okay.
I think that the spirit of Sasquatch is real. I think that the eerie air that you feel when you're like in the woods, especially at night or when you're driving alone, especially on a road with a lot of trees, I think that when you feel some discomfort or eeriness or scariness, to me, that's like a spirit of a creature or a spirit of something unknown. And it could be like the spirit of a Sasquatch.
Yeah. Okay. I think I follow.
Like Sasquatch is the eerie air around you.
Yeah. If I'm thinking about actually empathizing with Sasquatch, as you said earlier, could be very scary to encounter. And there have been a lot of stories about Sasquatch acting aggressively, throwing rocks at people. I don't believe there's been a lot of Sasquatch murders. Like, I don't think a lot of people have been murdered by a Sasquatch. I think in empathizing with the creature, just, you know, remember that if it is real, it is probably an endangered species that's been forced deep into the wilderness and is being forced further and further away from its territories by humans, you know, expanding our areas and destroying wilderness, especially with wildfires in the Northwest now, that it is just a creature. And if we're going exploring for it, or if we're out in its territory, it probably wants to keep us away, or it's probably scared of us. And so I feel like we often imagine Sasquatch as like some kind of like intelligent monster out in the wilderness, you know, but I think all evidence suggests that if it is out there, it's just another animal. You know, it's probably a primate of some sort and just trying to survive on its own, probably struggling to do so because its population is so small, which is why we don't ever see it or have any evidence of it.
Sometimes, like, when things are reported that, like, Sasquatch ransacked a cabin or Sasquatch killed dogs or something, sometimes when we don't have an explanation, we have to try and blame it on something because humans, I think, really try to search for answers, and they don't like not having those answers and sitting with something that is not tied up. Has Sasquatch been unfairly used as a tool for us to blame things on when we can't find out the answer, or when it's actually one of us who has caused great harm?
It's easier to blame things on a mysterious unknown or a mysterious dark creature than it is to believe in the fact that your fellow human being or someone that you live near, you know, killed your dog, or like you said, ransacked your cabin. We don't want to believe. We want to believe that other people are good. And so in order to do that, we have to invent demons to blame things on. Not that I'm saying the Sasquatch is invented, because it might be real.
And we simply just don't know for sure if Sasquatch really did those things or not.
But, you know, if I had to make a bet, I would say that more often than not, Sasquatch, if real, is blamed for many things that it did not do. And that more than likely, if Sasquatch is real, it is just another animal trying to survive in the wilderness and is probably terrified of us. And that's the reason that we rarely see it.
Yeah.
Because we're scary.
We are. A comment that I made in my notes is Sasquatch okay in these fires? Probably not.
No, yeah. If anything, like, I have to wonder, like, if there has been a population of Sasquatch in the wilderness in the Pacific Northwest, is it even still around? Maybe Sasquatch did exist and there was a very small population that's been surviving, barely surviving for a number of years, maybe since climate change and more of these wildfires. Maybe if there was a population, it's gone now. There's actually a big kind of controversy I was reading about of like whether or not we should shoot the Sasquatch if we find one, you know, to prove that it exists. And I'm on team don't shoot the Sasquatch, because if it does exist, then it's probably endangered and we should not eliminate any more of its population. There are actually areas in Washington where it is illegal to shoot a Sasquatch. It's like actual law. And
I'll jot that down so that I don't go to jail.
Yeah. Part of the reason for that is because of so many people who believe in Sasquatch going into the woods with guns and shooting at things. And they were like, the legislature, whoever made the laws, was like, maybe Sasquatch doesn't exist, but we still got to stop people from trying to kill it, because when these people do that, they kill other things and cause harm to other people.
Or at least, this isn't as fun, but I would assume that a politician also thought of the idea, oh, what if someone's just doing a prank and they accidentally kill a human?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And like, so, yeah, I can kind of see why that law is in place for that reason, too.
Now, my understanding from my research as well is that in Texas, it is okay to kill a Sasquatch.
I will write that down so that I do not find myself with a Sasquatch outfit in the middle of Austin.
I think if there's one place in Texas where you can get away with a Sasquatch costume, it might be Austin.
Right. Next cosplay idea.
Sexy Sasquatch.
Sexy Sasquatch.
Sexy Sass. Maybe that'll be my drag.
Sasquatch Eye.
That should be my drag character. I just started watching RuPaul's Drag Race for the first time.
A little too late. It's been going on for, I don't know, what, 10 years?
Yeah, thought it might be worth a try now. So moral of the story here, a Sasquatch, if people are in traumatic experiences, listen to them and care for them and don't try to tell them that their experiences aren't valid, because they are, even if they might be wrong, but they might also be right. What else? Sasquatch is just another animal, so don't be trying to kill it.
Even if it's not just another animal, maybe if Sasquatch is even more human than we realize, also don't kill it.
Yeah, don't kill a Sasquatch, because it's just trying to survive.
Right, and we can assume, you know, that they have the same desire to carry on their species, just like humans.
Yeah, all evidence suggests that life intends to continue.
Yeah. On that note of like, oh, don't bother the Sasquatch or don't kill the Sasquatch because Sasquatch is just trying to survive. I also think that Sasquatch is just trying to remain in solitude with itself or with its species. So whenever there are Sasquatch spottings, Sasquatch tends to be alone. And I think of Sasquatch as a creature that likes its alone time and that understands the beauty of being alone.
That's a nice thought. Nice. Way to think about them.
When we try to look for Sasquatch, we disturb their peace. So like people will say, oh, Sasquatch growls a lot and looks very scary. And Sasquatch stinks really bad. And the stench. Oh, yeah, that's another reason why I do borderline believe people, because they say that the stench is so strong. It's just so overpowering, and that the growl is so overpowering. If someone were to disturb my solitude and my peace, I would growl too. I can assume that Sasquatch wants to be left alone and wants to be in their territory without humans wrecking it. And maybe that's what's best for them and their survival. And then if peace is disturbed, then yes, growls, resentment, and a desire to leave humans can happen. We always demand to find Sasquatch and to have more of Sasquatch, but I don't think Sasquatch wants more of us, especially when we put fire to so much of the West Coast.
Yeah. You'd think if Sasquatch wanted something to do with us, that it would be seen more often.
Yeah. Bigfoot doesn't want to conform to the way humans are and to the other creatures that show themselves more. Bigfoot just wants to be themselves. And we should respect that. Leave Bigfoot alone.
Do you think any of our listeners will get that reference you just did?
If they're 25 plus, I think so.
Yeah. If you didn't understand that, YouTube, Leave Britney Alone.
Yeah.
Was a big part of our childhood.
Done by Chris Crocker.
It was a big part of like sophomore year of high school.
Do you remember Cat? I'm a kitty cat. And I dance, 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 and I dance,
yes.
Dance, dance.
Yes, I do.
I'm a kitty cat. Oh.
When we were younger, there were less.
When I was 10 years old.
There were less memes, but the ones that were around were much more widespread. There were fewer memes, but they were much bigger.
Because if you don't have much competition to like go viral, then that thing that went viral went insanely viral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, we all know my stance on Bigfoot, I think, at this point. Tiana, where do you stand? Is Bigfoot real or not?
Well, like I said, when I was on LSD, Bigfoot is in the air, at least in the air. The spirit exists in the woods. Maybe a Bigfoot existed a long time ago before we were alive.
Yeah. You believe in Bigfoot the spirit, and I believe in Bigfoot the body.
Yes. But in regards to the body, though, I don't deny either way. I can't say that Bigfoot exists. I can't say that the body of Bigfoot exists, and I can't say that it doesn't. I don't know enough about the world.
Yeah.
So it would be too overconfident of me to declare one thing or the other.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to stand on most things. It's like, does it matter so much whether something exists or not? Whatever you feel is like, fine. Feel what you feel. Let other people believe what they believe and go on your merry way. Unless someone's causing harm to other people.
True. if Bigfoot were the vaccine, I would believe in Bigfoot. If that makes sense. I feel like, okay, I'm so sorry. I feel like this whole episode, I have just been high without being high. And that's just what happens sometimes.
Yeah, that's okay. If you think Tiana is too high for this episode, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know. Or if you think she is the right amount of high, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know. Tiana, you told me you have a Sasquatch poem you'd like to share?
Yes. I just want to say a few more things.
Oh, okay.
But I'll do it really fast. First, I'm a little bit jealous of Sasquatch's mysterious nature. And that Sasquatch lives in the woods and is an entity that people think they see or may not see. It's so intriguing, right? Like, don't you want to be a little bit mysterious? Because then people are more intrigued.
I am a little bit mysterious. And people are intrigued.
That is true. See? We can learn from Sasquatch that it's okay to be mysterious. It's okay to be on your own or to not share as much because then people are more interested sometimes. When someone doesn't know like your motives or who you are, then they keep trying to find out and you just seem so interesting. And maybe it's okay to be mysterious because then you drag people in more than you would have if you would have just said everything about yourself within the first 10 minutes of knowing someone. Also, if I saw a Bigfoot, I would accept Bigfoot, even if he stunk.
That's very kind of you.
What's wrong with me today? I'm so weird. I'm sorry.
Yeah, do you have more to say, or would you like to share a poem?
Okay, well, I'll share my poem. This is the poem, Bigfoot. To my friends, there are always people like us running to other sides of countries to do what we daydream in closed eyelids, to make something, to do what our mothers wanted. Leaving has been the face of the company that is the world. I left. I know you did too. I needed the feeling of risk and new to boil in my body like a cauldron. Thought leaving the cold could warm me up in ingredients I hadn't tasted before. It helps. To my friends, lately, my position in this world has been hidden in the trees where the Pacific Northwest morphs me into days with wet fur. A hermit of choice? Maybe. A creature that you only catch if you think stomping around is fun, like Bigfoot. I'm trying to get my footing here. I maneuver things and feet so big, my dangly self falls more than it should, but I'm getting by. Like Bigfoot, my mane, my Pantene-infused fur drenched in product, and the sweat of the animal kingdom flows in the wind. I've had time to take care of myself. But sometimes, I stare into the water, in between my feature on 3 a.m. conspiracy theory shows and bush burrowing. I think of you. My friends, who aren't here, when my hands, a large square footage, easy targets for the bites from the coyote next door, have not been stitched up by you in a long time. But although you are not here, I know you are still here with me. I swiped the fish the way you would without as much nervousness about it. I know you're wondering why I only show up briefly, where you can't help but take pictures if you see a blurry glimpse of me, but I keep your photos in my overlarge head of mine. I've used the threads in the way you taught me to stitch myself back together in the cave. My growls are pitches you've always liked, ones that form words you think are important. I've glanced into puddles in the dark and saw your teeth shine through. I have made judgments on what to do in rain that have your thoughts as suggestions. I build bonfires and the flames open like days you said there was opportunity sparking us. You've been here this whole time. In the crevices of my being, I wouldn't have made it across the hills without you. I would have been caught by the abrasive cameraman if it weren't for you. To my friends, you've always been here. I know poets always talk about the moon, and so this is probably repetitive. But luckily, I'm Bigfoot saying this instead, that I've looked up at the moon on quiet nights when I felt I was the only Sasquatch in the trees, when the city in the beyond only had crickets to offer and known. You're right there underneath it with me. The end.
I liked that one a lot.
Thank you. And yeah, I think that's why I wanted to talk so much about Bigfoot solitude. I think that's such a big aspect of Sasquatch, and how even though they are in solitude, they know what they're doing. It's typically their choice, and they know that those that they miss are still there with them.
That's deep. And if you're listening and you want Tiana to come perform her Sasquatch poem at your club, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Or if you'd like to reach out to us about any other thing, we're here to listen. nextdoorvillain@gmail.com. Also on Facebook and Twitter @nextdoorvillain.
And Instagram and TikTok.
Yes. Oh, TikTok too.
TikTok, just a bunch of cosplay.
Yeah. I'm Joe Anderson.
I'm Tiana Hennings.
And you've been listening to Next Door Villain.
You've been listening to some interesting things.
All right. Bye now.
Some strange things.